The Ticket.
Michigan Insider Podcast is brought to you in part by defense attorney and WTKA legal insider Joe Simon. Find Joe at themichigandefenders.com.
And we are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, online at WTKA.com. A story in basketball caught my attention yesterday, only because it was an example of greatness in the here and now. It's like a lot of times you really sort of quantify someone's greatness in their respective sports when they're toward the end of their careers. You know, they're about to hang them up. They're clearly past their prime, or they've retired already. Sometimes, though, you see or hear about a feat while a guy is still in his prime, and it's another signal of just how great he is. So Steph Curry scored 53 points. And that's not, while 53 points is impressive, any 50-point game in the NBA is impressive, right? What was more impressive was that with his 53-point scoring effort, Mr. Weintraub, he became the all-time leading scorer in Warriors history, surpassing Wilt Chamberlain. Steph Curry is now so they had a sign. You remember the iconic sign of Wilt Chamberlain holding up the 100 points?
If I'm in this game in Hershey, yeah.
Right. Well, they have a picture of Steph holding up a picture, 17,818 points to become the all-time leading scorer in a lot of franchise history. It's crazy that he's already got that. I mean, you think about it, he's been playing at a decent clip. I mean, you know, Steph is in his ninth year.
Yeah, it's 11th year. So we need to give context here where because obviously Wilt played on multiple teams. He played with the Philadelphia 76ers, not the Warriors, right? He played with the Lakers, but he did play with Philadelphia and San Francisco Warriors, right? So that's the organization we're talking about here. For them, he played six seasons, Sam. Scored a lot of points, but he scored six seasons. He only played six seasons with the Warriors. I'm trying to come up with the total points. They only give the average number. But he averaged 41.5 points per game as a Philadelphia or San Francisco Warrior. Think about that for a moment. 41.5 points per game. Oh, yeah, by the way, he was also averaging, he was averaging 60, over 60 made field goals a game. There was no defense at that point.
That's amazing.
Yeah, defense was very different back then, but still. Yeah.
It's amazing. Defenses were different, no doubt. And he is an amazing athlete.
There were no shot clocks. 41.5 points a game. There was no shot clocks.
There was no physical match.
There was one. Right. How many times did he play Russell's? You know, especially once he went west, they didn't play as often as when he was in the east, right?
Yeah, very few physical matches for Wilt Chamberlain, whereas Steph Curry is 6'3", 180 pounds. And
probably soaking wet.
And Glenn Rice said it best. He said, you know, he's something different. He said, you know, the rest of us are, you know, pebbles at his feet, was essentially what Glenn said. He said, I was a great shooter. You know, Glenn isn't bashful when it comes to talking about shooting. You know, he definitely considers himself one of the greatest shooters in basketball history, and rightfully so. There's only two guys I put ahead of me, Larry Bird. You understand that. And he said, and Steph Curry. And he says, Steph is different. Because look at the way the rest of us got our shots. You know, we're coming off screens. We're driving kick. You know, it's people driving kick to us. When you think about the great shooters in the game, I mean, you were net. Reggie Miller, I don't think, ever got a three off the bounce, like in his entire career. Maybe in his entire life, right?
No, he did. Sam, he did in that, was it like when he had like the 9 points in 4 seconds against the Knicks? Because he had a steal, dribble back, and hit a three. So that might be the only one, but he had at least one. There was one.
But he said, man, Steph is different because, yeah, he can come off screens and hit threes, but look how many threes he dribbles into or pulls up with. I mean, it's just.
You have to guard him at half starting. Once he crosses half court, you have to guard him because he could pull up at any point. And that's not really an exaggeration. And Sam, you want to repeat how tall he is? Because you want to compare that to Glenn and Larry, who he was talking about? Yeah. And for that matter, even Reggie, and compare the height thing? Because how the getting the shot off thing, I know he's got a pretty quick release, but that 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 inches, depending upon who we're talking about here, does make a big difference in being able to get the shot off, too. Steph does have the advantage versus Wilt in just the total number of points. He has the three-point line, right? But the game is different, and that is a really amazing stat. And the question will be, what will he put the number – what will he set the number when he's done? What will that number look like? And will anybody have a chance of catching it? Because he's going to be an all-timer, obviously, or he is an all-timer, and he's going to put a number that's going to be so hard to pass, it's going to be sitting for a long time at Golden State.
I mean, you're absolutely. I didn't even think about the height part because, you know, Larry Bird is what, 6'8", 6'9"? Glenn was 6'8", 6'9". Reggie Miller was 6'7". Ray Allen was 6'6". Steph is definitely, at a height disadvantage compared to all the other shooters that we put up there. I mean, you got some specialty guys like Craig Hodges, right?
But we're talking about generally speaking, we're not just talking about the great shooters as great shooters because Steph Curry's not just a great shooter, right? Larry Bird wasn't just a great shooter. You know, maybe Glenn's a little bit more in that category, but Glenn did more than just shoot the ball. But yeah, Craig Hodges is his own cat. Like the 3-point specialists, we're not having this conversation about, right?
Right. And you know, he stacks up. Here's the crazy thing. He stacks up well with the 3-point specialists too. Like he can do that too. That's the amazing thing about him. I think you remember that video where he hit like 100 threes in a row. It's like this is just insane. This is another level even beyond the greats. And one of the greats said as much. Glenn Rice said as much. It's like, you know, I can tell you right now, his career isn't over. The book isn't finished. He's the greatest.
So here's a question. Theus asked an interesting question, a follow-up about Steph. Do you think Steph will retire with one team? It's such a rarity nowadays, and it's almost hard to predict. I think he's the guy that wants to, but it doesn't mean he'll be given the chance to.
Yeah,
you assume he would, but you never know. Like, I mean, salary caps and contracts, and if they fall off the cliff as an organization, and like there are things that you can't answer right now. But it sounds like based on things that he has said and people around him have said that he wants to, but there are no guarantees that that can happen. Just the NBA is so different now than it used to be.
Yeah, you got to look at the franchise, how much they value keeping him around, even when he isn't Steph anymore. Like he's not past his prime by any stretch. I think this entire season has been like, wow, did you forget about Steph, you know, being outstanding. He's averaging like 30 points a game this year, Ira. So I think he's reminding people, I'm still that guy. I'm still that guy that, you know, MVP, look at me type of dude. Yeah, you know, I still have that kind of, I still have those kinds of performances in me, even though we are a middling team. Because we don't have Clay this year.
Man, I'm feeling old, Sam. I just staring at him being 33 years old. It's making me feel a little old.
And I say, when I say MVP, I mean from the standpoint of he can produce like that. He won't be that this year.
But he's still a caliber player. You're talking about the caliber player he still is.
Exactly. Yeah, he won't be that this year for the team that he's on. But he's reminding people that I still can do this at this level. And when Clay does come back and – you know, let's say you're developing James Wiseman, who I haven't seen if they said, it really was a season ending injury that he sustained. But you're working on his development. You see the development of young players like JP. I mean, you can see those pieces coming back together once Clay gets back next season. So but I just worthy of note. I was like, he surpassed Wilt Chamberlain? it was the picture that caught me. Why is he on the upper side next to Wilt? Yeah, he just surpassed his scoring record for the franchise. So another sign of the greatness of what Mr. Steph Curry is. And of course, we talked about him on the Michigan Basketball Insider podcast with Glenn Rice, and it always resonates more. You know the saying, game recognizes game, applies. He said, yeah, I could shoot. If you could shoot better than me, he can. He could and he can. So there you go.
Sam, real quick, before we go to the break, I'm going to get to Eric Backage coming up in the next segment. Since we're talking NBA here, and we don't talk a lot of NBA here on the show, you might want to take a moment just to give everybody a reset. I know you pay attention, a lot more attention to it than I do. You might want to give everybody a reset, because if you just ask the average sports fan right now who the top team was in each conference, I don't think they would get both of them right. I don't think that people would get, or for that matter, the top two teams in each side. Maybe with Brooklyn, people might guess. But I don't think people are going to tell you that the Jazz and the Suns are the top two teams in the West right now. And I don't think most people know that the 76ers, maybe the 76ers, but I don't think most people know. We're seeing a kind of a shift a little bit. Maybe this is a unique year, but with the injury to LeBron and whatnot, there's a little bit of a shift in who some of these teams are at the top of the standings.
Well, you know, the Sixers, they were the team we're going to be talking to Eric Adelson a little bit later on. And sure, remember the Sixers, they were the team that he picked, not the Nets. Now, things have changed for the Nets. They have added some veteran pieces, guys past their prime. But, I mean, you know, I think that the deeper they get into this, LaMarcus Aldridge and Blake Griffin, I think those moves are going to reap some really positive dividends for them. And I mean, how far ahead of the Nets are the Sixers right now?
Sam, the Sixers are half a game ahead of the Nets.
Half a game.
It's a half a game. It's a half a game.
That's what I meant. How far ahead are the Sixers ahead of the Nets? And it's not that much. I could definitely see. I'm feeling a little different about Brooklyn now, too, with the moves that they made. They're a different team now.
It seems like a real separation, the top three teams in the East versus the rest.
You know, just a brief aside, when I see that team, the other thing, they just seem like a squad that, from a mental standpoint, yes, they got tremendous talent, but they seem emotionally volatile. Whereas here you got Kyrie Irving taking another personal leave. Like, he's taking a couple games off for personal reasons. And that just seems like that's going to be a thing for this team. I mean, maybe they overcome it. But the headspace is something that I would worry about with that squad. A mercurial guy, I think, is a proper way to describe Kyrie. I think that KD can channel his anger. You know, he's been in the news lately for his back and forth with Michael Rapaport, who published some private messages that KD had sent him. And then you got all these alphas on one team. They do have to settle into role play on this team. So it'll be interesting to see how, when push comes to shove and it's championship winning time, if that role definition is defined. But they have all the pieces. I think they're the best team in the East, even if the record doesn't say that right now. The thing that would hold them back, in my opinion, initially I thought it was defense. They got so much firepower now. I don't think that'll keep them from the finals. If they don't make it, I think it'll be because, like I said, they're a mercurial squad, a mercurial bunch, when you have Kyrie Irving as a key cog in that wheel. But we need to get to a break. Be back on the other side. We're going to catch up with Eric Backage, get some Michigan baseball talk. Here are the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, The Ticket.